You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
What'd you say it is? 80 out there?
83. 82.
Gorgeous.
In late October.
I know. It's okay. Yeah.
Wow. I'm not even mad. Investigators looking into the death of singer Liam Payne say they are not yet ready to release his body to his family pending more toxicology reports. Jeff Payne, the father of the former One Direction singer, arrived in Argentina on Friday, presumably to pick up his son, the body of his son. Final toxicology report findings are not expected to be released for some weeks, but the initial report suggested evidence of exposure to cocaine.
Okay, file this next story under what the hell, how, and why does this happen? Okay. A shooter accused of killing a Sedalia man has been charged with another crime after allegedly harassing the victim's family. Now, when you read that headline, you might have a couple questions come to mind, right? Namely, how is a shooter able to harass his victim's family? We'll get to that in a moment. Okay. From Channel 5, but I think they buried the lead. The shooter accused of killing a Sedalia man has been charged again after he allegedly harassed the deceased man's family in a local grocery store. Documents filed in Pettis County have revealed that 23-year-old Kencorey Grant of Sedalia, who is wanted for murder in the second degree, has been charged again after he allegedly strolled into a grocery store, started harassing family members of the deceased.
He's wanted. He hasn't been arrested yet?
Oh, wait. In April, the Sedalia Police Department said it was called to an area within the city after shots were fired. When they arrived, they found an adult male victim who had suffered a gunshot wound to the head. Sadly, he died. Later, Grant was fingered as the perpetrator in the case. Okay? Fast forward to August. Court documents note the original charge of murder in the first degree, unlawful use of a weapon, and armed criminal action were requested. Grant returned to the Show Me State in June when he was arrested, but he posted bail again in July, failed to appear, and in October, a warrant was issued. The way I read this, he was never in jail.
Well, for a short amount of time, long enough to be charged and post bail.
Then official charges of murder in the second degree, unlawful use of a weapon, armed criminal action, endangering the welfare of a child, and unlawful possession of a firearm were filed. 2 weeks later, the Willard Police Department reported they spotted him with no license plate on Highway 160. He was pulled over and ran. Has not been seen since. Then on September 17th, law enforcement officials indicated they were called to a Sedalia grocery store with reports that Grant was there harassing family members of the deceased. He allegedly told the victims he'd kill them too. Charges in that case weren't filed until last Wednesday. Another warrant for his arrest has been issued. As of Friday, he was not behind bars.
How many times does he have to get arrested?
Wow.
All I heard was arrested again.
Arrested again. Why are we giving any bond to an accused murderer? I understand you have the right.
We do it all.
You have the right. To me, I think if you ask most just people out and about that didn't go to law school, you would save the cases where someone is accused of shooting and killing somebody. You would save those cases for we are either not going to grant you bond or bail, or if you have an extensive criminal history, or it is going to be so cost prohibitive that you won't be able to get out.
Is that constitutional, though? I'm not trying
to. There are cases where the judge says no bond.
That's true, but that person normally is a massive threat to the public.
I don't know, shooting a guy in the head and then going and threatening the family?
I'm not disagreeing with you.
Who decides what's a massive threat to the public? But I don't want that guy pulling up next to me at a stoplight.
I don't disagree with you, but there are, I mean, and Sedalia is not even a big town, but take a big city like an Overland Park or a Kansas City, Missouri, or Wichita or St. Louis, we would agree that murderers probably should not be given bond, certainly first-degree accused murderers. But then we're going to start adding a lot of other crimes there. Rapists.
Sure.
Child abusers.
I would add those to the list as well.
People who
possess child pornography.
Right. And then next thing you know, there's no room in the jail for the guy you just pulled over who was DUI or...
This guy is such an idiot, by the way. He should be put away just for being this dumb. He fled the state after the death. Right. He fled the state and then is so dumb or so cocky or just doesn't care that he goes back to Sedalia, which, as you point out, is not a large,
I'll look up how many people they have,
bustling metropolis, and wanders into a grocery store where he starts allegedly harassing the family. Can you imagine being the family members of the man who died, and you're just trying to get your life put back together, strolling down the grocery aisles, trying to figure out what to make for dinner.
21,000 people.
And the man who is alleged to have shot and killed your loved one is in aisle four?
And how did you not beat his you-know-what?
But as for why he's not still behind bars, it comes down to, one, criminal history. We've already touched on that. And two, how much hard evidence do they have that he is the suspect? Because if all fingers pointed at this guy, but they have zero hard evidence, they can't post a massive bond. Huh. We look at the case up north of a guy who had zero criminal history, but they had piles of hard evidence of what he was alleged to have done to a woman who was allegedly jailed in his basement while he did horrifying things to her. They gave him no bond despite no criminal history because they had a mountain of physical hard evidence that he was the culprit.
But the way I read this, Sam, at least once he was arrested, got out on bond, and failed to appear.
That should be reason enough to hold you without bond.
I agree. After the failure to appear, why is there bond?
Because now you're a flight risk.
That's fair. Until or unless they don't have enough, as Scott mentioned, space in the jail.
At that point, we start ranking who we want in there and triage. Who, you know, the guy that had some marijuana, we let him out to make room for grocery store harasser, shot a guy in the head guy.
Now, do we know if, and maybe the answer is we don't know, did he go into the grocery store with the expressed desire?
Do not know.
To harass the family, or was he there and just happened upon them?
How dumb would you be just to be there and happen upon anyone? Well, you fled the state, allegedly.
You have to be pretty dumb.
Then skipped out on court, and now you're going to roam into a grocery store in Sedalia where your victim lived?
913-586-7798, 913-586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. All right, we'll grab Wyatt, and then we're going to move on to a little bit of lighter flair. Wyatt in Stanley, hello.
Yes, sir. How are you at this afternoon?
We're doing well, sir. Thank you for asking.
I just wanted to say that whenever you get into these topics, I start to tingle, because bottom line of the situation is the bond on any criminal charge is set by the court. So if a judge has approved a bond and that defendant can make that bond, they are released. And most people don't realize that Kansas, by law, requires a bond on every criminal charge except one.
First-degree murder?
Nope.
Capital murder?
Fugitive. It'd be a fugitive charge from a capital offense in another state.
My God, you would think that goes without saying, Wyatt.
Well, that's why it's the only one on there.
We got a little carve out for that one there.
I point out, let's just use the case of John Robinson.
I was just going to, which I believe, if I'm not mistaken, White, I don't want to steal your thunder, had a bond of $5 million?
That is correct. And if he'd come up with $5 million, he would have been released on bond in compliance with Kansas state law.
So every time we complain about these things, it goes back to what we tell our listeners, you need to lobby to change the law.
Exactly.
Versus because complaining about the laws we have.
Is they watch movies and television, and they see Law and Order, and there's always a scene in Law and Order where they're talking about remanding the defendant. Where the prosecutor asks that the defendant be remanded to custody, which is a great line and apparently legal under New York law. But that's unique to New York.
Right. Huh. Well,
great call, and call anytime. I know what I forgot to tell you from over the weekend.
Yeah.
I know. And this is crime related, but I was not criming. This is crime prevention related.
Were you crime fighting?
We were not. We went down to Tomstown before the gala for St. Luke's on Saturday night. Just for one drink, look around. I love that place.
Tomstown is a bar?
It's a distillery, yes.
Okay.
As in Tom Pendergast. Oh. So we park not that far away, and it's, what, 17th,
bucks to park.
And, oh. 17th and Main.
Yeah,
we
roughly.
Actually found a spot, walking in. And as we're walking near that corner, you hear,
"You are being surveilled."
You're being surveyed what?
Surveilled!
Oh, surveilled.
And I look around and I'm like, what? And it is on a loop now.
This is Big Brother.
Yes,
we are watching.
No. It is on a loop now. I think every 30 seconds, because that's all it took to walk from our car to the door and then back on the way out.
You are being surveilled.
Which is great. I don't mind being surveilled. It's a public street. You don't have the right to privacy walking into Tomstown.
That is correct.
And they are doing everything they can to fight crime. I don't know that this is going to fight the crime, but sure enough, I just pulled up on Twitter and this from Fox 4. There is, and I took a photo. There is a photo of what that thing looks like. And there's like a, it's like a short street light pole.
They used to have these in the Walmart parking lot in Roland
yep.
Park.
Still have them. They're called lot bots.
And they would tell you to move it along. You can't loiter here.
Correct.
This is from Fox 4. New security cameras and lights were put up by the city of Kansas City recently in hopes of preventing crime and keeping the city safe, according to Mayor Quentin Lucas Tuesday morning on Twitter.
Good.
He says it's another step to a safer city. More eyes on what's happening and a more efficient ability to seek pinpointed deployment, he says, is something we are building out citywide to ensure a safer and more responsive environment. The next step, he says, is to add more surveillance on surface parking lots. Fine. I joked, who gets the gig where you get to be the voice of creepy surveillance guy? Because it doesn't say...
Did it sound like a real person?
Welcome to Kansas City. Right. You are under surveillance. It was this breathy... creepy, sort of older guy voice.
It's probably AI generated, right?
Man, I don't know. If you've heard it, we will totally take calls on this because it was jarring when I first heard it. And then I was like, oh, well, that's not a bad idea because I'm going to be honest. I parked my car down there and I double checked, exited the car, triple checked that not only was everything locked, which it does automatically, but the video cameras and the Sentry mode on that Tesla were on.
But any, this is almost an oxymoron, any smart criminal would know where these things are, and if they're going to engage in crime, it would just put on a mask or wear their hat real low. Because these things are elevated. They're like 25, 30 feet up.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean the cameras are elevated in 25, 30 feet up.
That's where the cameras are. They're up top.
I don't know where they are. I couldn't tell. I mean, we walked by it. Hmm. I don't want to say we walked by it, but... we were adjacent to it to the point that when we were coming back to the car, I saw it. I was like, oh, there it is.
Did it make you feel safer?
Yes, but it also makes you kind of look around over both shoulders because you're like, where's that coming from?
Do they legally have to tell you that you're being surveilled? I don't think they do.
They do not.
Yeah.
I think it's a deterrent.
It is most certainly a deterrent. It's trying to say it's similar to how stores like Walmart have a greeter at the front door. We see you.
But we can't put them on every corner. And so if there's one of those near 17th and Main... Well, is there one near 15th and Main? Like, if I was a business down that way, I'd go, hey, we want that thing rolled down here.
Well, why can't, maybe not these sorts of machines, because I imagine they come with a pretty hefty cost. But, like, even in Boston in, was it 2013 when the Boston, or 2012?
All the camera angles on that.
They had cameras every, this was, you know, a dozen years ago. And Boston had cameras on just about every corner. I know New York does. I mean, why can't you put cameras on every corner? You don't, you're not, you
well, but those were in large part privately owned business cameras. And because of the nature of the bombing and all those things, everyone flooded their video to that FBI website and said, we are sharing our video in hopes we can help catch these guys.
Okay, so I was under the impression that those were city cameras.
Some of them were.
If I'm wrong.
But a ton of them were business cameras.
Okay.
Some of them were, though.
I mean, you don't have an expectation of privacy when you're in public.
Crime
on a public street. Well, yeah, crimin' on a public street.
Yeah, and I mean, Danny, you mentioned that the other businesses are going to say they want them as well. They can absolutely cough up tens of thousands of dollars and get their own. Text line says that instead of saying you are being surveilled, it needs to say,
I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you're looking for a ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Yeah, that would scare me. That would most certainly scare me. These are mobile, are they not?
Yeah. I mean, think so they're on wheels.
It doesn't have to stay at 17th and Main. It can...
Sure.
But I guarantee you that Tomstown bought that lot bot, is my point.
No, because it's right, like, when you leave, it was way, like, up the street, maybe 30 yards and to the left on a city sidewalk.
Oh, really?
Yep. Okay.
Well, and didn't you just read a story from Fox 4 that... Quoted yeah. Mayor Lucas.
Yeah, they're putting them in Crossroads.
We bought this.
I'm guessing now Brookside and Waldo and everywhere else we're seeing.
Well, can I ask a very unpopular question?
Yeah.
Why not put it in some of the most crime-ridden parts of the city?
In residential neighborhoods?
That's exactly what I mean.
The same reason that they don't like that we have the shot spotters where we have them, despite the fact that they're centered where there's the most shots.
Now, I imagine near 17th and Main, there are a number of lofts in the area. Would there not be?
I would assume so.
I do have an expectation of privacy inside my own residence.
The cameras aren't pointed at that residence. My guess is like an umbrella that's pointed down. Because you're going to want to get every bang for your buck when you put a surveillance camera out there. You're not going to catch all of it. You are going to want the widest possible view that affords you the best vantage point of seeing someone breaking into cars or all that stuff.
913-586-7798. That's also the text line if that is your preference. 913-586-7798. We'll get to your calls, your comments in just a moment. She is Dana Wright. He is Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. You are being surveilled. Is that what it said? That's it?
In a very creepy old guy voice.
That would sound extra creepy in the middle of the night. By the way, from the text line...
Especially if you're not expecting it.
We have no confirmation of this, but I do believe that it wouldn't be a city thing, because those things are expensive, and the city is not exactly flush with money.
But no, the city... Quentin Lucas said they were putting them around.
He's quoted in that story.
They said that this was put in by the owners of the lot in which the lot bot sits.
In that one that I am talking about, I don't deny it, but the story from Fox 4 says... The ones going up, at least in the Crossroad, were the cities.
Okay. Mike in Overland Park, 586-7798. Hello, Mike.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, you guys are correct. So I work at 17th and Walnut, and I've worked down there for about 8 years, and the influx of crime down there as far as broken windows and stolen cars has been rampant, even in the last years, tremendously increased. But those parking lots that you're talking about, Dana, has... the ones that make the voice, those are private. Now, the one that's on Walnut, it does have the one that has like a solar panel and the cameras.
Yeah.
And that I think is by the city. But the ones that make the noise, that landowner or that owns the parking lots, he actually put in a fence around one of those and made it private because there are so many broken windows. We've had at our office, like we park against the building and we're literally working right there with the window. We've had a lot of our employees will be standing there. A car will pull up. Two guys will jump out, come over, break windows, ransack, get back in that car before we can even get out and do anything to see what was going on. And then on top of that, we probably have, if not one, two vehicles a week that get dumped in our parking lot that have been stolen.
Oh.
And what's weird is, and nothing against vehicles, but they're always Kias or Hyundai's. Because I think they get broken in easily.
Right.
I don't think it's that they get broken in easily. I think it's once you break in, they're easy to start.
They are. And they just rip the handle off. So we know it's been dumped whenever we walk up to it. We can say, hey, this vehicle doesn't look right. We look at all the doors, okay, and you'll find the handle's off. And then they break the console plastic where the... And they just wire it, and they come, and for some reason, they dump them in our parking lot. So we're always making a call to get them towed. But it is crazy. Now, I don't know if the deterrent, I think they're motion-activated, the ones that you heard, Dana.
Yeah.
Like, if you pull into those, whenever you pull in, yeah, it'll do that.
Mike, that is true, because I remember years ago when we were talking about the one at the Walmart in Roland Park that somebody called in about them, knew way too much about these cameras, and they are motion activated. That is correct.
Yeah, and they have red and blue flashing lights on them that are going constantly. And yeah, it's interesting. I'll be interested to see if it does help. But if you drive in our parking lot, there's glass everywhere. We've had broken windows all the time.
Mike, I appreciate the call, and I'm certainly not doubting what you're saying, but I had been under the impression, am I wrong, that downtown over the last number of years since they started to revitalize it had taken on an air of safety? I go to concerts down there and dinners. I've never felt unsafe.
I think if we looked at the statistics, it is property crimes, number one.
I'm sure.
I hope.
Yeah.
Look, did I feel like someone was going to jump out and grab me at 3 p.m. in the afternoon downtown? No. But yeah. I looked to make sure my door was locked and my car was parked in a good spot. You know what I mean? My first thought was, God, I want someone to break into my car.
And what I'm describing is purely anecdotal. And it just dawned on me, in fairness, the only time I'm usually downtown is when I'm at a big event, a concert or a game or something like that. I park in a parking garage that's monitored by humans, not just by cameras.
Yeah.
And when I'm going to the event or leaving the event, I'm walking down the sidewalk in a huge crowd.
Almost every time, because I park for free a good distance from the venue, because that's my choice. Almost every time I go down there for an event, we get harassed in some way.
Really?
On the way to or from or both that event.
Dave in Kansas City. Yep. Dave, good afternoon. Hi.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
First-time caller, long-time listener. Love the show.
Thank you.
I actually work in the building right across the street north of Tomstown, the 1627 Main Street building.
Yeah.
So this is like 4 months ago. My boss, to the north of our building in that parking alley, has a designated parking spot for his tied to the business. This is like 4 months ago. He said, 3:30 in the afternoon, just like the other day, both cars on either side of him were broken into. And then it was probably 3 months later, those surveillance cameras were installed, and they are private because I saw the installation company that put them in.
Hmm.
And they do flash, like Mike said. And if you walk by that thing, it's sensory tripped, so it will say you're on surveillance. But the crime is so bad down there that the cops don't care about broken windows. They're looking for bigger things to go after, like shootings and everything else.
But isn't, and I know you would agree with this, I think, Dave, but isn't it all connected? It's like the broken window theory, actually, that it's all connected, that if you allow the broken windows and the break-ins, crime follows crime.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But these weren't stolen cars like Mike was talking about, but it's just, there's glass all over the streets and the parking lots down there, and syringes. The homeless is running rampant. As well, just right east of our street, over on Grand, there's a Sinclair gas station. We call it the Crackhead Cafe because they say you do not want to be down here after dark.
Wow.
Yeah. The homeless is thick. But, yeah, Mike said those surveillance things, they're just, they're auto-censored to trip up and deter you. That's all they're doing.
Well, what about lighting, though? Because if they're not in a well-lit parking lot, are they of any use at night? Do they have their own lights?
I've never been there past dark to know if they're lit up or not.
Yeah. Thank you, Dave, right, for the call.
I live in Leawood. I get out of there at 4, so.
Okay, man. Carter in Belton, 586-7798. Hello, Carter.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well, thank you.
I'm just curious, and I know Dana likes betting, and I got $5 saying that within the first two nights of them putting these robots out, it's going to be tagged in some way.
Man, that would be an awful ballsy maneuver to tag the anti-crime robot with cameras on it. I'm not saying you're wrong.
Somebody's going to do it.
Like spray paint it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Either spray paint the cameras out or put their tag on it somewhere.
Well, but the cameras are way up. They're like, at least the one I saw in years ago in Roland Park, those cameras are like 30 feet up. You're going to have some mad climbing skills.
People tag on the side of bridges all the time.
Yeah. By the way, how do they do that?
No one knows.
Yes, they okay. No, they repel we've all, over the
no,
side.
No, we have all thought the same thing, Sam. I'm sorry. I'm going to agree with Scott on this. We've all thought the same thing every single time you see the bridge overpass.
I too have thought the same thing. There are plenty of documentaries out there that break it down for you.
They repel over the side.
They repel over the
because
side.
Because I've always found it awful but yet impressive that as I'm driving underneath that bridge, the writing is right side up.
Yes. Have you also noticed that there are dams out there that have graffiti in the middle of them? They didn't bring out, you know, a boom truck and hoist themselves up. They rappelled down, graffitied, and then climbed back up.
So there's always going to have to be two of them.
Look, there's a live news conference going on right now about the former CEO of Abercrombie & Fitch. I did not realize he was 80 years old, Scott.
Yes, I have that story over here.
Can we pipe a little bit of that in? This is, wow.
His name is Mike Jeffries. He's the former.
He and two other men accused of basically trafficking, and they were young men.
That is correct.
Yeah, they would bring them in on the promise of them being models for the company because they, I don't know if you've ever seen an Abercrombie and Fitch ad.
Well, we've talked about it on this program. Is anyone surprised? Look at their ad campaign.
I'm in no way surprised.
By the way, his name is Mike Jeffries. His partner is 61-year-old Matthew Smith. He, too, is charged. And they allegedly used a recruiter, 71-year-old James Jacobson.
Yes.
Good God.
It was rumored back when I was buying their clothes in seventh grade, which last year. No, this was years ago. That they were not good people.
Says here from the New York Post, former Abercrombie & Fitch CEO Mike Jeffries, his gay partner and a middleman, preyed on and horrifically abused more than a dozen young aspiring male models as part of a twisted sex trafficking and prostitution ring. Jeffries, who is now 80 years old, allegedly wielded his power, wealth, and influence to traffic scores of men for his own sexual pleasure for nearly a decade, often dangling the promise of a modeling career in their face.
Is there a more seedy underbelly world than the Harvey Weinstein / Abercrombie / you know, bringing them up to your hotel with the promise of fame and fortune than we've seen in Hollywood? I mean, my God.
I was just about
God.
To say Hollywood in general.
I can't even read some of this New York Post story on the air.
I know. It's I was watching the closed captioning on CNN.
It's that graphic. I can't even use some of these words on the radio.
I hope they throw the absolute book at all of them. But like all of these cases, Scott, you have to ask yourself, Abercrombie & Fitch has been not relevant for years. You have to ask yourself, how long did this go on? How many people knew it?
I'm going to just highlight.
Oh, I don't even want to see it. I don't want to see it. I can't.
Like I said, 15 years ago, there were rumors going around as I was buying those clothes.
This just now came out that this was happening.
No, they said it's been going on for more than a decade. Yep.
And Abercrombie & Fitch has been irrelevant for most of that time.
Now, I have heard from people who know things about things that among the younger group, Abercrombie, God, it's so hard to say.
It is hard because you want to put an M in there.
Right? Yeah. Is making a comeback.
Not after this.
By the way, not to go squirrel again.
In fairness, he is the former CEO.
How has no one ever seen someone rappelling off the side of a bridge, tagging it?
Never.
Another great question. I've never seen anybody.
Ever, Sam. Not
one
time.
No one has ever seen it.
Which is why I don't think that's how it happens.
What do you think happens?
Gnomes or something in the middle. I don't know,
well,
Sam.
Well, that's more plausible.
Graffitiing, spray paint.
Little elves.
Wielding gnomes.
Elves.
Little elves. Dangling, like do they?
Dangling elves.
They just hold.
Yes.
Like a chain of elves just dangling off of a bridge.
Yes.
And the guy in the bottom's the one with the spray paint.
You just recently watched Polar Express or something?
You have a more plausible explanation? Because I don't.
It ain't that.
If you were that artistic and that good at dangling upside down and creating some of the graffiti I've seen, you would be at the Art Institute of Kansas City.
913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Just real quick before we get to the top of the hour, heard this story in Dan's 4 o'clock newscast. American Airlines is implementing a new system to ensure that passengers do not board early. In other words, cut line. The airline has been, really, New York Post, the airline has been piloting a system that will audibly flag when someone tries to board before their designated boarding group has been called.
Oh, have you ever watched this in real time where someone is just standing there minding their own business way up in the A boarding group, and then they go to scan it and the flight attendant says, I'm sorry, this says you're in the C boarding group. This is A. And this, the reaction is universal, almost like when a referee calls a flag on a player in every NFL game. The person goes, I'm C? They always act like they didn't know. Yes, you do.
This one that said A.
Lies.
Now, I will say this. When we were coming back from a foreign destination a couple of weeks ago, apparently I'm not allowed to talk about these things.
Why aren't you?
Because you guys make fun of me.
Oh.
And so does the text line. But anyway, we flew back on Southwest, and I was B57.
Okay.
And, you know, it goes 1 through 60, A, B, and C groups. I was B57. So there's a B58, 59, and 60. And
there's also B52s.
That's true, but nobody likes them. Except Mackie. T was C1. So there were three people technically between us. But I'm like, that's silly. You know, just stand with me and we'll go on together. And they wouldn't, I mean, there were three people between me and her.
Right.
I'm B57, she's C1.
Right.
They would not let her board.
You are kidding me.
Until the other three people had gone past us.
You can't be jumping the line.
Well, okay, when I think jumping the line, I think you're supposed to be way at the back in C because you didn't set your alarm, which I do now 24 hours ahead of time, to check in so I don't end up being C.
24 hours and 5 minutes.
That's not, it's not my problem that you did not plan ahead. That to me is jumping the line when you pretend you're A and you're like, oh, I must be in the front row. I had no idea.
No,
that's not what you did. Trying to stay with your seatmate two slots. I would allow that.
And then I lied, and because the guy at the gate said, I'm sorry, but you're C1. And then she just mouthed something to me because I was standing by the door to go down the jetway. And I looked at the guy and I go, that's my wife. I just want to sit with my wife. Well, she's not my wife. And I did want to sit
with
her.
My wife.
My wife.
I was going to say, that's not my wife.
I don't know who that is. I have no idea.
It's way funnier if you say it in that accent.
She's not with me.
With Sacha Baron Cohen.
So quoting here from the airlines in a statement, we are in the early phase of testing new technology used during the boarding process. Passengers who try to board early, who I think this story indicates are known by the airlines as, quote,
known jumpers.
They're known as gate lice.
Okay.
Okay, we should tase them.
Wow.
Right before you walk on to the... Yes, they should be tased.
I was thinking public shaming was maybe a step too far.
No.
And you said, let's public shame and tase.
If you're jumping from C to A routinely and then playing dumb and pretending like you don't understand how the Southwest cattle call works...
Where do we aim the taser? Up there or down there?
Right in the face!
In the face! No, not you, fat Jesus. The other guy.
I mean, I don't know. Ask Rob Riggle where you aim it.
Nobody, I've never been tased, but nobody gets tased in a flattering look. It's kind of like when you're, and nobody's face ever freezes on Zoom. Have you ever noticed that? In a flattering way.
No, you are so right.
If your face ever, that's right, Dan. If your face ever freezes on Zoom, it looks like this. There's always one eye closed and your mouth is always agape. And then it stays frozen like that, and you look like a moron. Anyway.
Public shaming at the gate.
It'll let off an error beep if you jump.
No. No, no.
Wait,
it's got
beep?
No, it's gotta like be something wah, that is wah. Universal that everyone knows. No, not even wah wah.
Ooga.
No, it can be an ooga, but it's gotta say, we have a line jumper here. It can't just be a ding. If I hear a ding when they've scanned your ticket, I think you've stolen something or I don't know. I don't think you're
gate
a line jumper.
Detected. Gate lice detected.
Right.
Gate jumper. 2 o'clock.
Somebody doesn't like me on the text line very much.
Why do you look at that thing?
Because it's funny. Does Scott perform regular exercises so he can put his head that far up his keister?
Okay, that is funny.
That is some serious flexibility.
You got to stretch. You might pull something.
Yeah. Quick break for the news with Dan Weinbaum. That's coming your way in 2 minutes. Sam Stevie the Third. She is Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.